break. Welcome back to the Black Is Break for a special Black Is After Dark episode with yours truly, Casey Layman. At the table tonight, we have Chris Layman, Django Jr.,
yeah.
Sheba, and John and Triana Wood. And tonight's topic is, what is it, honey? Wanting the freak, marrying the virgin.
I want them both.
Why does it seem in our society when it comes to dating, men love the freaky women, but when they marry, they want virgin Mary? What's that about?
Well, nowadays you're not getting no virgin Mary, so you better be happy.
Well, I found this funny because heard, one of my friends put on.
She says she only been with Cold World. What did he say? She says she only been with three or four niggas, so you got to multiply by three.
I don't know. I know one of my. I saw somebody put on Facebook the other day. How come all the girls that was hoes in high school are now the ones that are married with families? It was a whole conversation.
Because they know how to soak in alum and tighten themselves up and make the men believe that they indeed are virgins.
Unless they married the guy that they was with in high school.
They're using the old school granny trick, soak your stuff in alum.
I don't even know what alum is.
It's a seasoning that we cook with.
Sheba.
What is this accent you're using?
Well, what is that about? What is that about?
Chris, you put this on the table.
Yeah, I put it on the table. It's a hard thing, I would say. I thought about it just because hearing, reading other articles and blogs and stuff about it. But it's just funny because when you're single, you don't want the chick that don't know nothing. You want the chick you can put it down, that you can have fun with in the bed. However, we are taught that
she can't be your wife.
Right, that if she that nasty, how many other people she done this with? And do I want, you know, because we hear all the songs like, you married the hoe?
Just a nasty hoe. Just a nasty. Right.
You know, all the Too Short songs and all that. Like, why are you marrying a hoe, man? You stupid. But then you marry the chick who don't know anything, and then you get frustrated, and then you're like, all right, I need to find somebody who know how
just
to do some shit.
Just made her old saltine crackers.
Right. I need a woman.
What's the hoe version of crackers?
Ritz.
The good stuff.
Right, because the crack is done worn down now. We can't hold nothing.
Oh, man. Well, this is John Wood. I hate to get all, I don't know, intellectual on our fun topic, but it's funny because this is actually, to a certain extent, it's kind of an American, almost a uniquely American phenomenon in the sense that you go to other countries and their relationship to sex and sexuality and it depends on where you are, of course, but generally speaking, in Europe, and I think in Japan, although Kim could probably talk a little more about that, but there's not quite the distinction made, from what I understand, between, you know, judging a woman or a man, I guess, in terms of their other personal qualities and integrity so far based on their sexual habits or the frequency thereof. But in America, we have this strange dichotomy where we come from a very puritanical, religiously strict history. We are the most religious country, developed country in the world. And we come from the Puritans and all that, where even talking about sex was sort of a no-no, let alone doing sorts of things. And yet, at the same time, we're a rebel country. We had the Wild West. We have all these, you know, a great history of sort of, you know, breaking with tradition and capitalizing and monetizing on that break with tradition. So where we have an overabundance of sexuality in our culture, but we're not really allowed to talk about it in polite society.
Right.
And so this is why we're so schizophrenic with regards to that.
Right. Just how, if you're in other countries, in Europe and other places, nudity is all over the television, no big deal. But our country seems to be really, like they hold the reins on that kind of stuff really tight. But we are, at the same time, overly sexual. So it's kind of like we're hypocrites.
Repressed.
Yeah, in our own way. But yeah, I don't know why we have such a fascination with that. And I've heard women say to me, men want to marry experienced virgins, which is like impossible. Like they want a woman who knows all, she can do every trick, but she's never done it with anybody but him.
Right. That's what they want to do. Because they can't imagine like some man pounding on their woman.
Now, it is hard to say. And I think where I got this from is a shout out to Daryl from Ashy the Classy with the Madonna Whore Complex. Yeah, and his article is, you know, men classify women into only one or two categories, either evil sexual temptress or good and pure saint. Woman has to be one or the other. Like, you lust for a sexual and beautiful woman, but will never respect her as wife material and will never marry her.
That's crazy.
You know, because you want somebody, basically you want somebody who, you can't imagine your woman who basically cooks and cleans for you and takes care of your children as being a straight up freak. It seems like those things are opposites.
But she can make you smile.
Right. And we don't think there's an in between. Like, there's some girls who you really like, but you like, would you take this woman home to meet your mom? Probably not.
But see, then here's the thing. What my one friend put on Facebook then, if that were the case, what she said wouldn't stand true. All the girls who were hoes in high school are now the wives. Like, there has to be, I don't think that quote unquote bad girls end up being the ones that don't get wifed up. I think a lot of hoes get turned into housewives. I think people grow out of their behavior.
People grow out of their behavior. If that doesn't mean that you're somehow have some scarlet letter against you for the rest of your life. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. Because
basically that theory is saying that if you were a hoe in high school or college, that you pretty much nobody wants you.
And you'll never
and the
change.
The thing about it is, if you think about just, you know, biologically, the hormones are raging. So there's a lot of hoes that are men and women that are happy at the moment. And if that was the case, a lot of people would be destitute and on the street and single.
Right.
So I think what's interesting, because I actually commented on the Facebook page, because I think it went a little bit further to say that isn't it funny that the hoes always end up married and have found Jesus. And I responded, you know, well, I said, well, anybody can change their life around. And I truly believe that. I believe that you could have been a saint through high school and college, and now you could be a freak, and you just hoeing all through your 30s and 40s. Mm-hmm. So it's
true that.
You know, I guess I feel like they're like generalizations. I think what it is that there are fantasies involved with this idea. And it is, it's a fantasy and a fallacy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, that doesn't, your behavior behind closed doors doesn't determine who you are, I believe, as a parent, as a responsible adult. You know what I mean? I mean, hoes can be more responsible than people who are virgins.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They could be, have all their bills on point, have their house, and they probably are more responsible because they're the ones you're always like, dang, you got a Mercedes, a house, two kids, and you go on vacations all the time. What are you doing? That takes responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
But
I was waiting for somebody to walk through that door.
But I mean, I guess my point is that I don't know what accent that was. The point is that I truly believe that people have an ability to change their lives around if that's how the course of their life has happened, you know, the trajectory of their life has happened in that particular moment.
Yeah.
And what's interesting again is, I just think we just have to acknowledge that a lot of that stuff is fantasy and not necessarily reality.
Mm. What makes a woman a hoe though? Like, what is the definition of a hoe?
In this country, it just seems like any woman that is promiscuous. A woman that is extreme. If a man and his homies can say that they hit it, that's a hoe.
Okay.
But see, what's interesting is, I mean, you may be right, but there could be a woman who, she, let's say, I think it's who knows is what makes you a hoe.
Yeah.
Right? Because there are probably people who, they probably look very innocent, but nobody knows what they do. Nobody knows how many dudes, how many guys, you know, how many females that this person slept with. And they're probably the biggest hoe. But mm-hmm. the moment that everybody knows, vis-a-vis Kim Kardashian. Mm-hmm. Kim Kardashian probably to a lot of people is considered a hoe. But technically, I mean, if she's only been with the people that we know in public, she's been with four or five guys mm-hmm. that are major celebrities. Mm-hmm. But you're like, in general, I'm sure hoeing for a lot of people means more than five. Because if, I mean, a lot of people, I'm sure they can count on their hand and their relationships they've had between the age, I don't know how old Kim Kardashian is, but between the ages of 18 and let's say 30. Have had more than five, I'm sure.
Well, if we're looking at the Sex in the City meter, if you under 25 men, then you're not a hoe.
But at what point?
You missed that joke entirely.
But you know damn well, if you know damn well, Malcolm, it'd be some brothers out there who'd be like between 18. You slept with five dudes? Damn, that's a lot.
That's why a woman just never tells. Yeah, you just never. She will shall not. She will shall not. She shall not. She shall not.
No, yeah. My definition of hoe is you basically know that you're going out to fuck this person, regardless of whether they got money or not. You just trying to go out there and do that. And you, this is a regular thing.
So what if you're just sexually frustrated and just like, you know what, I'm ready to release.
But I mean, the whole thing is like, you basically, if the guy was like, hey, I don't have a condom, it's cool.
Oh, that's stupid.
You're right.
She's stupid.
Here's my question. I once befriended a young woman who I discovered did not look at men ever in a platonic fashion. She didn't even know how to interact with men in a platonic fashion. So any interaction she had with men was sexual. And it was a lot of different men who she interacted with.
She never met Chris, did she?
She did. But yeah. But not like that.
Yeah, she saw Kim's face. And her fist balled up too.
I'm crazy but not stupid. No, but she that definitely ended, like, mind you, I was very young and extremely judgmental at this point. And the funny thing is, because on top of that, she was hardcore Christian and always preaching about what people should be doing and how people shouldn't be doing this, that, and the third. Yeah, and my young, naive, judgmental self, I called her out on it and was like, how you talk about all these people and Christian and this? Because she was bagging on another person who we knew who was having a relationship that was illicit and just kind of going in on the chick. And I was like, how you talking about her, but you be like seriously hoeing out here? And of course that was the end of our friendship. But like, I found it interesting just that she did not know how to look at men platonically. And I guess because that was the complete and total antithesis for me. I always was able to look at men platonically and didn't necessarily see when the advances from them were romantic. So I was like, how do you look at men and how can you not understand developing a friendship with a man? So then how else do you interact with them? Mm-hmm. And I remember she came by my house one time. This is before Chris and I were married. And my house has always been, even in high school, was like the stomping ground. So a lot of my homies was over and we was chilling. And they left. And later on, she and I talked. And she was like, so you've never slept with any of those guys? No. I was like, no, those are all the homies. Like, I've known them since I was like 13. Those are my friends. And she was like, really? That's so strange to me. Like, that's just so weird. And so, I don't know.
And that's...
Really? Yeah. About women. Okay. Right. Okay.
And that's why sometimes I have to question or go back and forth with that idea of a hoe, because that sounds like to me someone who definitely has some issues outside of it. So sometimes these women that are getting the label hoe, there are other issues going on. For this young lady, one, not knowing how to have platonic relationships.
That's a little extreme, really.
What?
I mean, the example Kim was really. I don't think. I'm sorry, Tori. You finished your thought?
No.
I'm sorry. I was just. I don't think there's.
Because I really lost.
I don't think there's really a hard and fast definition of what a hoe is, except that, I mean, you guys touched on it. It is kind of like, you know, to what extent does everybody know who you've been with?
That's,
you know?
Right.
And I think that really a woman's mannerisms, you know, I mean, you know, if a woman is very openly flirtatious And we just sort of with everybody in the room. Like, she's looking at you and you're feeling good. Then you see she's like looking at your homie, like, you're just like, wait a second. You know?
Well, silly of you to think that batting my eyes meant I just wanted you. I could have wanted just the attention at the table.
But the interesting thing,
Sheba, you're not a hoe, so you shouldn't be answering these questions as if you are.
But the interesting thing is that a woman like that may not even actually be as sexually active as, you know, another woman who's just more discreet and knows how to, you know, keep her business to herself. Yeah. But maybe she's just
peacocking.
Yeah. So
peacocking.
Right. Yeah. So a lot of it has to do with perception, and perception it doesn't always match up with reality. Yeah. So, but I think that, you know, society is kind of liberalized to the extent that, you know, we're kind of talking in terms of archetypes. You're right, there is this idea of, you know, the pure virgin versus the seductive temptress, but really, I think we've got to a point where our generation, my generation, me, kind of wants something a little, kind of wants something a little in between.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, because a lot of men I know don't want just the virgin, the woman that's going to lay there like a log.
Yeah, and I don't know many people that married virgins. Yeah, I don't know dudes that were really checking for that.
What are you going to say? I got this practice from hopping on my pillows at home. Like, I've learned how to do this.
It doesn't make sense. It's like, what are we going to do? Stare at each other? I don't want somebody that's inexperienced to spend the rest of my life with, unless you're going to be hella patient, and I'm not.
Right. But that's hard growing up in basically a strong Christian household, because you basically told if anytime you want to explore these feelings, you cannot.
That's crazy.
I don't know. Maybe my mom was crazy because I grew up in an extremely Christian household, but that was an open discussion. If I had a question, I asked it, and my mom answered, well, baby, this is what you do when you're married, or hopefully when you're married, but if not...
And see, I grew up the exact opposite. I grew up in an extremely Christian household, and that was not a conversation that was on the table. So what I learned on my own.
What's interesting, though, is, you know, from the Christian perspective, there is the belief that, Lord, I was going to say the consecration of marriage was. help me. Come on, guys.
Yeah, no.
Not the consecration. Yeah. No, what happens when you have sex?
You mean consummation, but
consummation. Thank you.
It's the same thing.
Happy hour. Okay. When you consummate the marriage, that is a junior. that is supposed to be a special, beautiful moment of a blessing. And then I've heard from many people that you would never know what good or bad is if your first partner was the person that you married, and you guys could discover and create that together. Because my thing is, if you've been with 16, 20 partners before you got to your husband or your wife, yeah, I guarantee you there's going to be somebody who did that or that better than they are going to do it.
Right.
That is life.
Right.
And there's some people who did it worse. And so the argument certainly for not having sex before marriage is that you can experience that together. And, you know, I know some people who have...
He'll always decided, be the best if he's the only one.
Oh, my God. That's true. You will, and she will, too. And so...
I can't believe you just said that. I think...
We saw something on TV, Chris and I, one time, because the idea of two people who are virgins actually getting married and saving themselves, both of them, until marriage is such a huge phenomenon that there can actually be a television show about it. We saw this little couple that had been dating, and I don't think they had even kissed. Their first kiss was at the altar. And when I tell you guys, it shouldn't have been, but it was the most hilarious thing ever. Because you're talking about two people who have never kissed before. And their first kiss is at the altar. Mouths wide open. And their family was all sitting there just like clapping, but trying not to bust a gut, laughing at them. And everybody was like, we just know, Lord, help them tonight.
In the room, somebody
gonna be hurt.
Someone's going to get hurt up in that their room. Well, maybe you can't get your virginity back, but I thought of Megan Good, who made the decision to not have sex with her now husband, but while they were dating, according to her, they did not engage in a sexual relationship whatsoever until they got married.
And I know a lot of people, I know several couples who decided that when they realized that that was going to be the one that they wanted to spend the rest of their life with, that they did. They said, okay, we're not going to have sex during our courtship. And I haven't heard any complaints.
I think we didn't do it.
No, we did once. We made a point to, when we were starting to get married, like, all right, we just going to wait. We're going to hold off. But it wasn't like...
No, it wasn't a hold off. It was fake. But once we
got engaged... I was about to say, really, Lemons? No. Really?
No.
Once we got engaged, I think maybe 60 days before or 90 days before, we were like, hey, we're going to stop and then we'll wait.
Okay.
Which was nice.
No, we both believe in kicking the tires and making sure you test the car.
Exactly. That's what I was like. I was about to say, I got a whole new respect for y'all. Give me my respect back. Picking it back up, take it off the table.
Yeah.
It was funny. Another thing.
We definitely pre-consummated. That was not a...
you want a name.
That was not a...
I will say another thing with... I know with guys is... And I guess because guys, well, for some people, can't be considered a hoe. They think it's just guy tendency, and I'm not one of them. Guys can be straight up hoes.
Yes.
But there's guys who go to hoeing and then all of a sudden, like, all right, I want to stop and get married. Yeah. And then all of a sudden feel like they can just flip that switch, and I guess they think women can do the same thing. Like, you've been messing around with all these chicks, and now I don't want to marry them. I'm going to find me somebody who... you know, seems to be on their P's and Q's and doesn't really get involved and don't party like that. And I'm like, well, this is what you are used to and what you like to do. So part of it feels like you're almost setting yourself up for a divorce.
Right. And then those men don't necessarily change their behavior. They remain kind of hoish in mind. And are
still going to the strip club.
And are still probably dicking down a couple of chicks. But they just want this one to be the main one. And so she gets the special attention and the special time. But their behavior doesn't change, which doesn't make any sense to me.
Right. It's crazy.
Yeah, it always gets me because I mean that's kind of the default thing. A lot of guys want their wifey, you know, the one that's going to, like you say, get the quality time. But you know, what was it, Eddie Murphy? Eddie Murphy. See, I always feel bad about cursing, even though I know nobody cares. But remember, Eddie Murphy was talking about the guy who, you know, gets caught cheating and knows how to talk his way out of it. And he's
wasn't
just like,
me.
Wait a second.
Wasn't me.
Wasn't me.
Oh, yeah, that one. But he's like, because he gets caught with the girl. He's like, wait a second. Yes, I fucked her. All right? Is that what you want to hear? I fucked her.
But I make love to
you. In a lot of guys' minds, that kind of, you know, justifies
it. Makes sense.
Yeah. They wouldn't apply that standard to the woman.
Oh, yeah, because guys
but,
say
but
that.
But themselves, that's the standard they apply.
I think they say it and they mean it, because I think for some men...
I'm sorry for the language.
No, for some men, men, certain women are just sport sex.
Yeah, and not that I like quoting Steve Harvey, but I remember hearing him say... I just have to put that out there. But yeah, there are some good things that he says. That men can wash sex off. So that's where that idea comes from. He says a man can sleep with a woman, get up, wash off at the sink, go, and it was nothing. It was like a deed. For women, sex is not necessarily like that. You know, we don't necessarily just wash it off. There are women who have gotten to that point, but just naturally... it's not in our nature to just be like, deuces, go to the sink and do like the little hoe bath and keep it pushing. You know, whereas a man can just go right to the sink, wash off, shower off, and it's nothing. Like, I didn't have sex. You know, I didn't love her. It was, you know, I've had a couple of drinks in the club and we got it in.
Low cardio.
Right. Yeah, I think men can do that for a certain number of women, but... right. I don't think all men can do that all the time.
No, yeah, I don't think it would be all the time.
Honestly, I would think if it's that easy, then the pussy must not be that good.
Right.
Because you can just be like, I'm not thinking about her. I'm like, well, that wasn't that great, huh?
Yeah. And, and I think that? Women have it. You can get to a certain point, but I just think it's more likely. Usually for women, there's a connection. Not all the time. You know, because women at some point in our lives, we can get to a point where you can separate emotions and expectations from sex. But it's not just
it's just easier.
Yeah, it's not a part of our makeup, our nature of who we are. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's where all these double standards come from as far as marrying a virgin? Because there aren't women running around here saying, I want to marry a virgin. That's just
I don't think no woman thinks that. That's funny.
What's interesting is that the topic is for, you know, I mean, it's about women, but I find it very interesting that there's not the same standard for men.
Right.
Like, so I'm curious to hear from the ladies at the round table, what are your expectations about a man that you're about to marry and his sexual prowess and promiscuity?
He's not going to be a virgin, I'll tell you that much.
Right. I don't want a virgin, but I certainly don't want a sucker for the vajayjay. So someone, a man who just like Django Jr. Are you listening?
Listening intently.
Oh, yes, I am.
You know, a man who just, he can't even walk by. He can't even get a whiff of it. And he's just like, oh, losing his mind.
Yeah.
Everything revolves around the vajayjay.
Yeah.
Like, he can't make good decisions, everything. Like, I expect that out of a 16-year-old kid, a 19-year-old right. kid, a 24-year-old. But so a grown man that I'm going to marry, that's not okay. Like, I need you grown out of that stage where it's like, you know, yeah, you know, I'm tired. I'm not out here trying to just get it. Everything doesn't make me, like, stand up at attention and be like, ooh, let me jump in bed with her. I got to
right.
have it.
I agree okay, with
so
you.
If so, having heard that, because if prior in your marriage counseling, your man says, baby, I've slept with at least 125 women in my lifetime, is that okay with you?
We on this HIV test is what we on before we go a step further.
Because I don't know if guys are kidding with a woman who slept with 125 men. I just know how guys think. And it's interesting that how forgiving you guys are, but I'm just curious.
Because I know people, men.
Who have slept with. I would say it depends on who he is at that point in time when we're sitting there in counseling.
Yeah.
I would. Now, clearly, if I'm seeing those same tendencies in you, then obviously no. 125 is big. But you know what?
It is real.
However, the thing is, I don't want to say no, I would never. Because sometimes men don't tell the truth anyway. And I might already have slept. I could have been 126. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like every man is
not
like,
you, Sheba.
Of course not, because she was a virgin. But you never, that's a good one.
That is a good one.
Now, if he just dropped it on me and I had never known, and I'm thinking this brother's like, you know, power to the people, good and righteous, and they just hit me with, I've been with 125 women. It's like, what? But then again, you never know, because you think about high school and college. Right? Don't let him be an athlete. And you have a job. You know how much punani comes their way? Like,
you got to
you're
going to
size the brother up. No, like,
you could literally have 10 a week.
That's what I'm saying. Size them up.
That's a lot. Because you need to know. You be asking, all right, so when did you lose your virginity? So I can, like, do the math. Because, damn, I'm like.
Who were you in high school? Who were you in college? You know.
Can I please see the results of your HIV test?
Can I see? You know they got the ones that you can just take home with you. Open up swab.
No, you want to see more of the HIV because there may be some hepatitis hanging around. There's some other
stuff.
And you
know now it just came out there's a gonorrhea that you can't get rid of. Yeah, that strain has come back. 125 is a lot. 125 is excessive unless, like Toria said, it does matter when you've met him. Sorry, Sheba. It matters when you met him in life. At what point? Like, nobody was not going to recognize her very distinct voice. But, like, when did you meet? Like, if we're talking about a man that's in his 50s, that's quite possible that he's had 125 partners.
No. Whoa. First of all, Sheba, I don't want you getting with nobody that is 50. No.
Listen here. 50 is a new 30.
Then I don't ever want to be 50.
50 means he got experience.
He got credit.
Not necessarily.
I do know somebody. I do know a dude who came out of high school and he was already at 60.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure that was a lot.
Well,
of
if
dudes.
He was like a high school athlete, if he was a musician or an artist, or if he was a super smart guy, you know.
But what's up with those dudes now? They know so funny. I'm thinking about some of the guys that I went to high school with that were the more popular guys, and when I've run into them in recent years.
But here's the thing. There's like, I don't want to say there's a shortage, but even like the, I don't want to call him a nobody either. But JJ is just out there for all these folks.
But those guys particularly, I don't see a whole lot of them married. Just like I don't see, like, there might be more women who were promiscuous in high school that are wives than I see men who were promiscuous in high school that are husbands. They're fathers. They baby daddies. I see a lot of them with a lot of children, but I don't see a whole lot of them married.
I see them married, and I, you know, I just blow their cover. Not on purpose. I'm like, you're married? And they're like, yeah, imagine that. I'm married. Yeah. Imagine that. Tell your wife I hit that. Just kidding.
She was. No, she not.
Yes, Sheba is bringing light to the table. Yes. I did not hit it. I did not tap your husband.
Okay, so overall, the consensus is it doesn't matter if you were promiscuous or not. It just depends on who you are at the time that you meet the person who is to be your possible spouse. And promiscuity is only an issue based on how discreet or indiscreet you are.
And then that's a problem because that's when that whole HIV stuff comes.
Like somebody said, is it really a lie unless you're caught? Is it really cheating unless you're caught?
Hell yeah.
Are you really a hoe unless somebody actually knows?
Are you a hoe? You ain't a hoe if they don't know.
You're a hoe. You got a slutty conscience.
On that note, we thank you so much for tuning in to this Black Is After Dark break. Peace.